Bobby Rydell, Swingin' School, 50s on 5, Pink and Black Days. Speaking of schools, remember the school in Blackboard Jungle? It was a jungle. That was the first movie to really exploit the teen problem that was developing in America at that time. Nothing else had come even close. And the music in this movie was very different, too. And that came about because of the son of the star in the movie, Glenn Ford, had a record collection. We're going to find out about that in just a moment. Glenn, who is a great actor, over 100 movies and all kinds of different types of plots that he would portray, and his wife, Eleanor Powell, who is the queen of the tap dance, had one son, Peter. And he's just written this really good book, Glenn Ford, A Life. Goes into depth about Glenn's career. And all the titles of the chapters have to do with songs. The one that really got me was chapter 8, Rock Around the Clock. And that's the one that Peter tells us about how the movie people used his recommendations for what kind of songs to put in the movie Blackboard Jungle. Peter's coming to town next week for the Memphis Film Festival. We're going to get together, have some barbecue, talk some more about this book and about this chapter. But I had to get a preview. So we talked on the phone the other day. He was telling me about how his life evolved, musically speaking.
There was a tremendous amount of music in our family life. My mother was a star on Broadway, and she was a big band music lover and worked with Tommy Dorsey and Frank Sinatra and knew all of those people. And my father, he liked country western music, and he loves Hawaiian music. And so we had a eclectic music taste in our house. So I, of course, gravitated to my own field that I loved. And as about a nine-year-old, I was enamored with and loved what I guess they called race music. And it was rhythm and blues. And I had a lot of rock and roll records in the house. And Dick Brooks would come by the house often at the end of shooting. My dad was telling him about his son, I was nine, who had all of these records, and we had a music room in the house. His dad said to me, well, Peter, play some of your songs that you like. And I took three or four records, and I played them. And Richard Brooks, the director of Blackboard Jungle, said, oh, I like this, I like that. And he ended up taking a few of them into the studio. And, in fact, I talked to Joel Freeman a couple of years ago about this. He was the assistant director on that film, and Joel remembers very clearly that Richard Brooks came into MGM, into his office, and played a number of my records. And he especially liked this record that I had discovered really kind of on my own called Rock Around the Clock. It was the B-side of a record called 13 Women and Only One Man in Town.
There's 13 women and only one man in town.
Which was being promoted by Decca as the A-side, and I did not like it. I bought it, but I turned it over and I found Rock Around the Clock, and as most of us young kids did in those days, we'd play both sides, and sometimes you'd have two A-sides, or in this case, it was a bad A-side with a good B-side, in my opinion. So anyway, MGM decided to use the song in the film, and they bought the rights, and it ended up being, as Dick Clark called it, the national anthem of rock and roll, and the reason it became that was because of me.
Historically speaking, that's pretty heavy. What else did you give them?
The Big Joe Turner, Shake, Rattle, and Roll. I had that.
Get out of that bed. Wash your face and hands.
And All Night Long by the Houston Orchestra. Alex, how can I say this? Here's this nine-year-old kid. I'm a white kid, right? In Beverly Hills, California. And I'm listening to Big Walter and Johnny Ace. I just loved all that early Ravens, the Orioles. I mean, if it was a bird group, I was all over it. And to even find these records, I mean, I had to scour. And, of course, I didn't drive. I was only nine. I discovered some of these record shops in not the best parts of L.A. at the time. And I convinced my mother to drive me down to these shops. And there was a radio station here. Hunter Hancock was the host on. And
let's go hunting with Hunter. Good hunting, everybody. This is Hunter Hancock, old H.H., getting ready to do a little hunting around for some of the very best in rhythm and blues records, featuring principally the greatest and most popular Negro musicians, singers, entertainers in the world.
And I would stay up late at night and listen to these records, and I'd hear things, and I'd be on the hunt. And my mother, bless her heart, indulged her little savant music son, and So I had this huge collection.
All 78s, he told me. So we know now that they used Rock Around the Clock in the movie, making it a big hit in 1955. When was the first time Peter knew that they put something of his in the movie?
I was born on February 5th, and around my birthday, they had a preview out at the Encino Theater in the San Fernando Valley. And my father said to me, Peter, we're going to go see the preview of my movie. And he said, and there, you know, one of your records is in it. And it, I'm not saying that I forgot about it, but, you know, it was just, I was nine, and I'm off to, you know, I don't know, on my bicycle. At any rate, we went out to the Encino Theater, and it was the first time the movie had ever been played for an audience. And I remember sitting in the back with Richard Brooks and Pandro Berman, the producer, and some other, you know, my dad's agent from the William Morris office. And I just remember sitting there, and if you know, you have to put yourself back in a place and time, and it's difficult to do for us today because we've heard so much music over so many years. But just picture this 9-year-old kid sitting in a theater, and here comes, you know, 1, 2, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, rock, and this blaring music with the backbeat and the whole thing, and I about jumped out of my seat.
1, 2, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, rock. 5, 6, 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, rock. 9, 10, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, rock. We're gonna rock around the clock tonight. Put your glad rags on. Join me, home. We'll have some fun when the clock strikes one. We're gonna rock around the clock tonight. We're gonna rock, rock, rock till broad daylight. We're gonna rock around the clock tonight. When the clock strikes 2, 3, and 4, if the band slows down, we'll yell for more. We're gonna rock around the clock tonight. We're gonna rock, rock, rock till broad daylight. We're gonna rock around the clock tonight. When the chimes ring 5, 6, and 7, we'll be right in seventh heaven. We're gonna rock around the clock tonight. We're gonna rock, rock, rock till broad daylight. We're gonna rock around the clock tonight. Oh, when it's 8, 9, 10, 11, 2, I'll be going strong, and so will you. We're gonna rock around the clock tonight. We're gonna rock, rock, rock till broad daylight. We're gonna rock around the clock tonight.
Bill Haley and the Comets, the classic Rock Around the Clock, the song that made the movie, or did the movie help make the song? One more thing, Peter. What was your most memorable scene from the movie Blackboard Jungle?
I think the one that I remember most would be the one where Vic Morrow and all the juvenile delinquents were breaking the records. You know, he played the role of Mr. Daddy-O, and they called him Daddy-O.
How do you like Mr. Daddy-O?
Daddy-o.
Daddy-o.
You all finished? Fine. Glad you got that out of your system. My name is Dadye, Mr. Dadye. Pronunciation is a very important part of English. I'd hate to fail anybody who couldn't pronounce my name.
And of course, some of us who might be of a certain age would remember Daddy-O became part of our culture. But anyway, he brought his wonderful records in, you know, Big Spiderbeck and all of these great jazz records that he was so proud of. And here's Vic Morrow and all these hoodlums, you know, took his record collection and broke them, and they knocked his glasses off and he couldn't see.
50's on 5!
Daddy-O!
Daddy-O!